So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Text 24. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atta Prasadaye Na Tavam Shapa Mokshaya Bhamini Yat Manyase Hi Asadhu Uktam Mama Tat Chamya Tam Sati Ata Prasadaye Natvam Shapa Mokshaya Bhamini Yanmanyase Hyasadhu Uktam Mama tacham yatang sati Ata prasadaye natvang Shapa mokshaya bhamini Manyanyase hyasadhyuktang Mama tacham yatang sati Mokshaya Bhamini Manjanyase Hyasadhuktam Mamatacham Yatam Sati Ata Prasadaye Natvam Shapa Mokshaya Bhamini Manyanyase yasadhyuktam Mamachatam yatam sati Ata prasadaye natavam Shapamokshaya bhamini Yanmanyase yasadhyuktam Mama tacham yatang sati. Ladies. Ata prasadaye natavam. Shapa mokshaya bhamini. Yanmanyase yasaduktam. Mama tacham yatang sati. Ata prasadaye natavam Shapamokshaya bhamini Yanmanyase yasaduktam Mamachacham yatam sati Ata Therefore Prasadaye I am trying to please na not tvam you shapa mokshaya for being released from your curse bhamini O most angry one yet which manyase you consider, he indeed asadu uktam, improper speech, mama, my, tat, that, chamyatam, let it be excused, sati, O most chaste one. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. O mother, you are now unnecessarily angry, but since all my happiness and distress are destined by my past activities, I do not plead to be excused or relieved from your curse. Although what I have said is not wrong, please let whatever you think is wrong be pardoned. Being fully aware of how the results of one's karma accrue with the laws of nature, Chittaketu did not want to be released from Parvati's curse. Nonetheless, he wanted to satisfy her because although his verdict was natural, she was displeased with him. As a matter of course, Maharaj Chittaketu begged pardon from Parvati. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Saji Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. So, what is the valuable lesson we can learn from this test? Maharaj Chittaketu is saying, what I have said is not wrong. But is he arguing with the curse? No, he's accepting the curse. He is seeing behind this momentary happening. There is some greater thing going on here. He is seeing destiny from his previous activities manifesting at the present moment. Therefore, he is not disturbed. That whatever is coming to me, it may seem to be just, it may seem to be unjust. But actually, whatever is coming to me, it is simply a manifestation of my previous activities. It may appear that someone has wronged me, but actually, they are simply the FedEx man for my own destiny, my own karma. They're delivering to me the reactions of my past activities. Therefore, why should I hold any grudge? You see, what is the point of having grudge against anyone? There's no point. Grudge means my vision is very narrow. It means I don't have broad vision. If I have broad vision, I will be grateful. You have delivered my karma to me. Thank you very much. If I have broad vision, I will not hold grudges, which simply fill the heart with smudges. If I have broad vision, I will have attitude of gratitude in every situation, that you are helping me to become purified of the reactions from my past sins. This is a very nice shloka in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Tatenu kam pamsu sumikshamano bunjana evatma gatam rakakham tadvagbapur virvadadang namaste jiveta yo mukti padesa dayabha. My dear Lord, those devotees who are always thanking you from within their heart, even as they undergo the reactions for their previous sins, they're always offering you respectful obeisances from within the core of their hearts, even while they undergo all kinds of apparently adverse reactions. Such devotees have liberation as their rightful claim. You see? So this mood we need to cultivate. Always seeing the hand of Krishna, how his hand is acting in every situation. To purify us of our previous sinful activities. This is called Krishna consciousness, actually. To see how Krishna is always acting in every situation, that is Krishna consciousness. To not be Krishna conscious means we are divorced from Krishna. We are not seeing how Krishna is acting. But real Krishna consciousness means how to see that Krishna is acting in every situation. We are meant to purify our vision. We are meant to see how Krishna is acting in every situation. Otherwise, how can we be happy? If we can't see how Krishna is acting, how we can be happy? You see? If we can see how Krishna is acting, how he is blessing us in every situation, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, how Krishna is blessing us in every situation, then we can enter into great transcendental happiness. Na prahyashat priyam prapya no vijat prapacha priyam stira bujir sang mudo brahmavid brahmanistitaha Bhagavad Gita 5:20. A person who does not rejoice upon achieving something pleasant nor lament upon attaining something unpleasant, who is self-controlled, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Bhaya sparshesh pasaktatman vindajatman yatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. The next verse, 5:21. Such a liberated soul is not attracted to material sense enjoyment because he is always relishing the pleasure within. In this way, the liberated soul enjoys unlimited happiness. Why? Because he always concentrates on the Supreme. He's always remembering Krishna. Is he? This science of Krishna consciousness is so powerful. It's so powerful. If we can simply plug in to this wonderful mercy coming from Prabhupada, simply connect with that mercy from Prabhupada, and we can become self-realized souls, not bewildered anymore about this the ups and downs, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Actually, Krishna has unlimited love and kindness for every single jiva. They are his dear children. Every single situation is happening under the mercy of Krishna to bring that soul closer and closer to Krishna. Krishna's mercy is manifested in material energy and in the spiritual energy. Become a devotee means I want to get his mercy through the spiritual energy, not the material energy. That's what it means to become a devotee. You get his mercy through the spiritual energy. Non-devotee means they get his mercy through the material energy. Birth, death, old age, and disease, you see. The kicks of Maya. And everyone's getting the mercy. It is simply a matter of turning on that transcendental vision. It's simply a matter of becoming Krishnized, you see. Spiritually saturated. That's all. Takshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Muke Hijivado Svayam Eva Spadat Yadaha. Nobody can understand the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his blunt, materially contaminated senses. But when one becomes Krishnized or spiritually saturated, by engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, jiva do, beginning with the tongue. Then the transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, qualities, etc., 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 ad infinitum, become revealed to the devotee. I love this verse, 1.2.2.34, Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. Before I was a devotee, I used to associate with the devotees. I was a hippie in Berkeley, one of those campus singers on the Berkeley campus back in the 60s. And I thought it was pretty hot stuff, pretty deluded character. And I would talk with the devotees there on the campus. Chitsukananda, actually, in particular, was the devotee I was talking to one day. And I said, you Hare Krishnas, you say your senses are imperfect. So how do you know Krishna is God? Your senses are imperfect. He didn't know what to say. But if he had known this verse, he could have defeated me easily. It's a fact. With these material senses, you cannot understand Krishna. You cannot know Krishna with your blunt, materially contaminated senses. But when you become purified by engaging those senses in the service of Krishna, then what do you get? Transcendental vision. You see? So with purified senses, yes, you can understand Krishna is God. He is the source of everything. That not a blade of grass can move without his divine sanction. You see? So this is the great mercy of his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharja Astatarisadashi Srimadesi Bhakti Vedantati Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupad. Who is flooding the universe with Krishna prema at every second. This is his great kindness. To take us blunt, materially contaminated rascals and engage us, be lusty, greedy, angry, envious, mad, illusion characters, and engage us in Krishna's service. What infinite kindness. How much Prabhupada tolerated? 22nd Avenue, Prabhupada had to stand in the line with the brahmacharis to take a shower in his own bathroom. He was sharing his bathroom with them. They had him stand in line. Can you imagine? Well, Swamiji should go to the front of the line for the shower. They were so dull. They let Prabhupada stand in the queue to take a shower in his own bathroom that they were sharing. If you can imagine the kindness of Prabhupada, infinite kindness. infinite kindness. Even Prabhupada was so considerate. I love coming back here to New Dwarka because I had a little, my first moment of direct interaction with Prabhupada, you know, on the physical plane, was right here, and right out the door there on the steps. I get so excited and alive, and every time I come here, I can I look at the exact spot where I was standing, and remember Prabhupada was standing there. It was so nice. This was 71. You were here that time. Just after the Ratha Yatra. And Prabhupada, they would take him on the morning walk, he'd come back, and he'd get out of the car, and we'd all line up along the sidewalk, you know, and there'd be a basket of flowers, and you would hand Prabhupada a flower, and he'd hand you one. It was really sweet. You had your own, I mean, for us rank and file who didn't get to be in Prabhupada's room, you know, we're just, you know, this is our chance. We had our one-on-one reciprocation. We'd hand that flower to Prabhupada, he'd hand it back to us. It was so enlivening. And Vishnu Janaswamy, I was one of his men from Texas. And he got a hug. I mean, wow. Papa gave him a hug when he got out of the car. And I felt so good because I was one of his men. I felt like practically I was getting hugged as he got hugged because I was one of his men. And so I gave my flower to Prabhupada and he gave me his, you know, back. And he's going down the line. But, you know, seeing Prabhupada was not like seeing an ordinary person of this world. It was extraordinary experience beyond this material world, just to see him, to have his darshan. I describe it like drinking his form into your heart through your eyes. So as Prabhupada finished coming down the line, you know, going back here to go back to the quarters, I just wanted another darshan. So I just stationed myself there on the steps, this wild character from Texas. Stationed himself on the stairs. The little steps are outside the door as Prabhupada was coming by, just to happen to see him as he came by. But Prabhupada was so considerate. It just, he saw, well, here's one that's not in the line. I wonder if he got a flower or not yet. There was no words, it was just body language and facial expression. And Prabhupada held up a flower. Did you get one yet? Like, you know, his expression like that, you know. He was so considerate. There was a huge crowd of devotees there, but he noticed this character standing on the steps, wondered if he got a flower or not yet. He was so considerate. Now, I could have lied and said no and gotten another flower, but I would never lie to Prabhupada. There was no way I'd ever lie. And I just nodded my head. I held up the flower and smiled and nodded yes. But that was so wonderful. Prabhupada had that amazing ability to touch everyone's heart. Everyone in the movement in those days, we all knew that Prabhupada loves me more than any person has ever loved me in my whole life or in millions of lifetimes. No one has ever loved me like this person loves me. Therefore, I will give my life to this person. It is that love of Prabhupada that made this movement happen, that mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And it's that mercy that still keeps it going. We've gone through some rough times since Prabhupada's disappearance, but Prabhupada's mercy was constant, unabated mercy throughout every single experience, you see. This, all the ups and downs of this movement, Prabhupada's mercy just kept, he was just beaming out of Prabhupada's transcendental form. Just beaming out like a Surya day, beaming sunshine all over the universe. Prabhupada's mercy is shining all over the universe, you see. And because of that uninterrupted mercy of Prabhupada, we're still here, Prabhus, we're still here, Manajis, we're still here. And we're growing, we're expanding because of Prabhupada's mercy. I'm traveling all over the world, going to so many places, big temples, remote places. And I see in every situation how Prabhupada's mercy is flowing. The books are going out in so many languages. The kirtan is going there, the prasad. The mercy of Prabhupada is manifesting more and more and more all over the world. And gradually will inundate the whole universe. The whole universe will be filled up with Prabhupada's mercy. Everybody will drown. This is confirmed by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Sach janna durjanna pangu jadda anaganna prema vanyaya dubaila jagatara jana. I think every time I come to New Dwarka, I quote this verse because this is the place where the mercy is really, really coming. I don't see any deity worship like this. It's very rare. I don't see the book distribution like this. Very rare. This is a very, very unique place. Of course, India now is really distributing books like anything. But it all comes from here. You see. This is where Prabhupada, this is the world headquarters in the old days. This was the epicenter of the spiritual universe of this kind. So that potency is still here. It's still flowing from Prabhupada, from Rukmini to Dwarkadish. That potency that will gradually awaken everyone to their eternal identities. We have nothing to do with this gross bag of stool, mucus, bile and air, vomit, pus, blood. I mean, it's no wonder that people are so miserable. They're being told to be a bag of stool, urine, pus, mucus, blood, etc. From the very moment we come out of the womb, what is the programming we get? Oh, look, it's a boy, it's a girl. And what are we told as little children? Be a good little boy, be a good little girl, be that body. You see? That's what we're taught. You be that body. We're taught you be that body. How we can be that body? We're not the body. It's just a gross, disgusting bag, and we're told to be it. No wonder everyone's so frustrated. It's no wonder people are bewildered. No wonder people go crazy and take guns and start shooting people. I mean, it's absolutely insane. This whole material society, based on this false principle, I am the body. So by the divine grace of the great, great acharyas, Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta, by the grace of these great empowered acharyas who Krishna has sent here, these great Nitya Siddhas, that Srila Prabhupada has sent here to this material world, we can get this awakening. I have nothing to do with this flesh and blood. I'm the eternal servant of God. I have nothing to do with this flesh and blood. Thank God it's not me. Thank God I have a different identity than this. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. Because now I have the privilege, the greatest opportunity to enter into an identity which cannot be destroyed by anything. Papa told us right here in Los Angeles, he said that from the very day of initiation, one attains deathlessness. We always talk about nectar. But what's the Sanskrit for nectar? Amrit. Deathlessness. Nectar means deathlessness. That means in this material world there is absolutely zero nectar because it is Martyalok, the world of death. But when you enter into deathlessness bestowed by the spiritual master at the very day of initiation, when you enter into deathlessness, then your whole existence becomes nectar. And by the powerful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more you distribute that nectar, the more you taste the nectar, you see. Now we are struggling, you see. After we get initiated, then that's called Bhajana Kriya stage. And then the next step is Anartana Vritti. Of course, we throw off the gross ones right away. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. But those subtle anartas, whew, they're hard to get rid of. They're really tough. You can go on for decades working on those anarthas, you see. Struggling to come to the nishtha stage where you're solidly fixed, you see. And it's only then that you can really get taste, ruchi. But you can really, really get taste, true taste, you see. But this sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so wonderful that you can get taste by distributing the nectar. You see, the more this nectar can be distributed, you will get taste. That's a fact. Even though we're not so qualified now, because of our anarthas, to get any genuine ruchi, by distributing this nectar, we can get taste, the sweetest taste. There's nothing sweeter than sharing the mercy of Krishna. There's nothing sweeter. Krishna gives great recognition to those. He states in Bhagavad Gita, there is no servant more dear to me, nor will there ever be any servant more dear to me than the preacher. So this preaching activity, this revolutionary activity of injecting Krishna consciousness into the global consciousness or the global unconsciousness. See, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Viplavaha, the Sanskrit word. See, if we can embrace this revolutionary mood of distributing the books, distributing the holy names, awakening the fallen souls, if we can embrace that as our life and soul, that we're always thinking how we can push forward this movement. One of my most favorite statements of Prabhupada in his purport in Bhagavatam, he's saying, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver the suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also achieve perfection. So, Prabhupada has defined a Krishna conscious being. And what is the name of our society? I think we still have the same name, don't we? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, but does that mean the members of the society are supposed to be Krishna conscious beings? Yes, obviously. So as Krishna conscious beings, if we are actually true ISKCON members, that means we're always thinking how to deliver the suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. That is our meditation every day. What can I do today to push forward this movement? You see, what can I do today to distribute these books, to make devotees, to beautify the deities, to help this movement go forward? What can I do today to push forward this movement, you see? Every day, that is the daily meditation. That is the moment-to-moment meditation of a Krishna-conscious being, as described by Prabhupada. That person actually is already living, according to Navrupa Goswami. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 124. Yena tena pakar, no, excuse me, 12187. Iha yasha herer dashe karmana manasa gera nikalasa yavastasu jivan muktasa ujate. A person who is always engaging his mind, body and words in the service of Krishna is already a liberated soul, even in all conditions of this material existence. If we can simply always think of how to push forward this movement, how to engage my intelligence, my mind, my tongue, my body, in pushing forward this Krishna conscious movement, then according to Rupa Goswami, we're liberated. We're liberated. Even though we're still battling it out here with the anarthas, he says, jivan mukta sa uchite. So it's pretty ecstatic. We can, just by embracing this sankirtan mood, this saving the world mood of Srila Prabhupada, this flooding the planet with Krishna bhakti mood of Srila Prabhupada, we can live in a wonderful, sublime existence, relishing the sweetest pleasure, living on the cutting edge of this tsunami, this prema tsunami inundating the universe, you see. Living in the most, actually this is the most exciting moment in history. The greatest Vaishnava Acharya ever, the most empowered Vaishnava Acharya ever in the history, has come and given us everything we need to do to transform this whole planet. Everything. We have all the ingredients, the books, the deities, the temples, the prasadam, everything. All the instructions are there. Everything has been given to completely turn the whole world upside down. You see? To bring back that Vedic age, which is predicted. Now all we have to do is do it. We just have to be instruments. We're not the doers. But we have to be instrumental that Krishna and Prabhupada can do it through us. That's it. This is Arjuna actually was instrument. Krishna actually killed all the enemies. So we simply have to pray for the mercy that my dear Srila Prabhupada, my dear Guru Maharaj, please bless me. I can simply be instrumental in your hands. That my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances will do nothing but purely represent you. That's all. You see. If we have that mood, if we have that desire, and we're always begging, begging, begging for that, then we're as good as liberated already. We're already as good as liberated. Even though we're still struggling with the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, envy, we're already liberated. So we should take very good hint from Chituketu. How not to take some problem we had with the Bodhis to be an impediment for our mood of complete humility. We should offer all respect to others, even if they disrespect us like anything. We should always offer them respect. So Archiduketu, he's very good acharya for us in this regard. We can learn great, great lessons from Chituketu Maharaj. And by his mercy and the mercy of these great acharyas, we can conquer this rascal mind and we can become the pure devotees that Prabhupada wants us to be. So I can ask now if there's any questions. I'm pretty deaf, so somebody may have to come and tell me in my ear.
What is the name of the first guru?
Can you go first for this woman?
The name of the person. The very first guru in our sampradaya?
Yes.
That is Lord Brahma. Of course, Krishna is the original guru. Krishna is called Adi Guru, which means the original guru. And then Krishna, he imparts this knowledge. Actually, you see on that shelf there, there's those books, Bhagavad Gita. You look on around page 32, and someone can give him, let him see. There's a whole list. Krishna imparted the knowledge to Lord Brahma, who imparted it to Narad Muni, who imparted it to Srila Vyasadeva, who imparted it to Madhvacharya. It's come down over many thousands of years to the present day, to our Srila Prabhupada, who's the founder Acharya of our movement. And now he's empowered us to also to teach this knowledge. Yes. Vivasvan, yes. He was also given this knowledge a certain time. Many millions of years ago. It's described in the first verse of chapter 4. You can look that up if you like. That Krishna says, I imparted this knowledge to the sun god Vivasvan, who instructed it to Manu, who instructed it to Ikshvaku. So the knowledge has actually been given many times in many different places. It was given to Brahmaji at the beginning of the universe. That was the original in terms of this particular universe, the original transmission of knowledge was from Krishna to Brahma, from within the heart. That's described in the first verse of the Bhagavatam. That knowledge was again given to Vivasvan, the sun god, millions of years ago, and then And it was again given 5,000 years ago to Arjuna. So it's been, the knowledge has been given many, many times by Krishna in many different situations. And we're very fortunate that our Prabhupada is giving it to us. Come here and tell me in my ear. You can't understand him either? Anybody understand his question? There is what? Variegatedness?
Yes. So being that if Krishna is speaking this in three worlds, would that mean that he has three texts of lists of parampara?
See, the parampara is like a huge tree. There's many branches.
Yes.
Many, many branches. There's one tree, which is the Krishna tree. And there's many, many branches going out disseminating that knowledge. You see?
Okay. And so in this right here, this disciplic succession, you can have, you assume almost three versions of this, as in like the three worlds?
Well, there can be, this knowledge can be given much more than three different places. Yeah, it was given in the sun planet. It was given there. It's not limited by time, place, and circumstance. It can be given millions of, there can be millions of branches in millions of different places. Why only three? Millions of places have been given. This knowledge is unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question, sir? Oh, very good. Thank you so much for your nice questions. Question? Okay.
You spoke about, earlier you said about having a broad vision. How do you develop a broad vision? I tend to just focus in on every problem. I don't know how to have a broad vision. How do you develop that?
Okay, what was...
She's asking how to develop... How do you develop a broad vision?
The microphone makes it hard for me. Tell me directly in my ear, Prabhu. No, come right here. Tell me in my ear.
She said she focuses on her problem. How can she go beyond her problems and have a broad vision?
Okay. Yeah. The secret, the insider's secret is you have to see that your problems are all the mercy of Krishna to help you become free of the reactions of your past sinful activities. Just like, for example, right now I have a terrible eye allergy, which is for 3 weeks. Ever since I went to Melbourne, Australia, I've been just like living in hell, itching eye hell, you see. Constantly watering, itching eyes for 3 weeks now. And they just, no, the medicines don't work. So what? How do I see this? How do I deal with it? I just have to understand that this is Krishna's mercy. That I, by this suffering of my eye itch allergy I'm going through, I'm burning off the reactions for previous sinful activities, and this, if I take it in that spirit, then by suffering this way, I'm coming closer and closer to Krishna. So if you will see your problems actually as burning off the reactions of previous sinful activities, then they're not going to devastate you anymore. At least you give you keep your nose above water, you see, in the ocean. You can be drowning in the ocean, but you can get all you need to get your nose above. You can still be in the ocean, but if you got your nose above the water, you're safe. So if you can see these problems are actually simply the result and reactions of previous sins, and they're actually good for you spiritually to undergo these problems, birth, death, old age, and disease, then you can be happy in spite of so many problems, you see. Is that clinket clear? Okay, good. Anything else? Rigamuni. Rigapati. I may not be able to hear through the microphone because the microphone, I get the echo.
I've heard many, many classes by Srila Prabhupada over the years, so what I'm about to say must be incorrect. But I feel like I've just heard the most amazing presentation of Krishna consciousness that I've ever heard. It was, thank you for a very, very wonderful, ecstatic class. I was myself, you know, in ecstasy, just roaring.
I'm just trying
and
to get
I was
get
watching
out.
Ramaswapuru, and he was kind of having
I just
a
tried to get
time.
Out of the way and let Prabhupada's mercy flow. I know I'm just a complete jerk, nonsense
rascal.
No, you
did a great job of letting Prabhupada's mercy flow.
I just
flow.
Try to
thank
get
you.
Out of the
it's
way
great.
And let Prabhupada's mercy flow. That's all I try to do. Thank you very much. Okay, on that note, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna. Here, take this garland. I'm so glad you made it. That's nice.